Good morning and happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to read this morning from Colossians chapter 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of all these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. This passage that I just read, it tells us how we are to respond to Easter, to the resurrection of Christ. We are to respond not by our own strength and not in our own life and our own things, but we are to respond in resurrection power. As Reformed people, we believe in total depravity, in the law of depravity, which I have my own poem. The law of depravity is a lot like gravity. It always pulls us down, down, down. Down into sin, down into death, down ultimately to hell. And yet the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has the opposite effect. It lifts us up. It lifts us up to righteousness, love, to all virtue. It gives us victory over sin. It lifts us up to life, even eternal life, abundant life, giving us victory over death. And it lifts us up to heaven, delivering us from hell, from Satan, from all its fiery eternal pains. That's what the resurrection does. It lifts us up. The lifting, raising power of the resurrection is seen in this passage in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. And so let us consider that this morning. If you then were raised with Christ, Colossians 3:1, number one, seek those things above. If you're raised, seek the things that are above. If you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Colossians 3:1. We are to seek, we are to make our goal, we are to have as the desire of our heart higher heavenly things. The things of Christ. Those things that are where Christ is. That's what we are to seek. Secondly, we're to set our mind on those things. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3:2 and 4. We need to set our minds, because sin makes them unstable. I remember as a young child, I used to love listening to the radio. And yet at that time, sometimes I'd try to get the far away stations. And when I'd try to get the further away stations, there was all this static. You had to set it just right. You had to set it perfect. And because we're still on earth and we're not in heaven yet, we have to set our minds perfectly. And that's impossible for us on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need to set our mind in that sense that we are focused on Christ, that the things all around us, the distractions, the static, would not pull us away. We need to set our minds on things above because we are dead to the things of this world. Nothing in this world will last for us. As the saying goes, a hearse does not pull a U-Haul. We cannot keep any of the things that we have in this world. But we have Christ, even eternally, even forever. We need to set our mind on things above. One, because they're hidden. They're hidden from this world. As it says, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Human beings don't think of these things naturally. We don't naturally lift our eyes towards heaven. The world is not seeking these things. The world has its own lust and its own things that it's running after. We need to set our minds on things above, hidden things. And we need to set our mind on these things because there's a sense they are hidden, and meaning difficult to see even for us. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, but now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. When we're in heaven, we'll be able to see these things perfectly. They will be naturally attractive to us. But now we see in the mirror dimly. Even God we don't see clearly. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We have this walk that we have in this world, which is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. But we have to navigate this place anywhere, hearing the voice of Christ, who is our good shepherd. We as his sheep follow him, and he takes even the cross in this world. Hidden with Christ in God means our life is in a safe place. As Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Our treasure, our life is in a safe place in heaven. Jesus says about his sheep, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In context, Jesus says this to unbelievers, those who had just recently kicked one of Jesus' sheep, the man that was blind who Jesus healed his eyesight. He says that he knew not at first who Christ was, but he says, I was once blind and now I see. And that man they kicked out of the synagogue. But was he kicked out of heaven? No. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He says, they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. He has us in his grip. So we should seek those things that are hidden, that are where Christ is. We need to set our minds above, because when Christ returns, our hidden life will appear with him. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 4. When he comes back, Jesus will be our all in all. The life that we have in heaven will be our all. Let's seek it now. Thirdly, how do we respond to the resurrection? We should kill our sins. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Christ raged a passionate war against their sins at Gethsemane when he sweat those great sweat drops of blood. And of course at the cross when he died to save us from our sins. And we are commanded to put these sins which put Christ to death. We're to put these sins to death ourselves. They are bring eternal wrath. They are bringing eternal wrath on the unconverted. Those people who wind up in hell because of sin. Why be committing those same sins that take others to hell? They are what we walked in before Christ. You know, I talk about sometimes kissed and unkissed frogs. The unkissed frog, remember the princess and the frog? The princess kisses the frog. And at first, when that princess grabs the frog, that poor little frog thinks he's about to be eaten. And he fights and he struggles against the princess. But the princess kisses him. Well, then he's a prince. Oh, and he has such a different view of that princess. Now she's beautiful. Now he lives in the kingdom under the king and with the princess, and he loves her, and it's a wonderful thing. And when he sees a fly, if he desires to grab it because that old froggy nature gets into him, if somehow he even sticks it in his mouth, he's disgusted. And so we should be disgusted about our sins. We should want to spit them out. We should want to get rid of them. They were what we were before we were in Christ. Yes, we used to dwell in a swamp, but now we dwell in a castle. And we are to set our minds on things above and not on the things of the earth. Number four, put off like filthy rags your sins. And now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. Notice the difference between this list of sins and those listed in verses 5 through 7. This is verses 8 and 9. Those were primarily internal, and these are external. Like clothing, these sins involve our appearance, even our witness, and ultimately, or they can destroy our witness before an ungodly world. The old man here is Adam, whom we inherited, from whom we inherited our sin nature. The sin nature itself is also represented here. We're to put it off. We still have sins that we deal with, but we're to get rid of these. We're to take them off like old ragged clothing. And then, point number five, Roman numeral number five, we're to put on like a new suit the clothing that is provided by our Lord Jesus Christ. And put on the new man. That is, the new man is our Lord Jesus, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on this is your new clothing. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond or the belt of perfection. It finishes off the ensemble. Colossians 3:10-14. A new man, obviously, as I said, it's a reference to Christ. We're to put him on rather than the old man, Adam. 10, renewed in knowledge. The image of God is renewed in us. We have more knowledge of what we really should look like. We look in the mirror of God's word, as it says in the book of James, and we know what we should be, and we trust in that. Righteousness and holiness, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness, Ephesians 4:24. There is the picture of the image of God in knowledge. And we have prophets to tell us about knowledge. In righteousness, that's what the priest came to do. He offered up the sacrifice that we might be righteous in God's sight. And that's what Jesus did. He died for our sins. And true holiness, that we would truly, even in our hearts, be holy. Set apart from God. Beautiful. And this is what Jesus does as the Christ. That's an office. He is prophet, connected to our knowledge. He is priest, connecting to our need for righteousness. And he is king. He is to rule. You know, the kings, the good ones, how did they rule? They got rid of the idols. They brought the people back to God. To worship him and him alone. They were holy for him. They were set apart for him. And so we are to be those who know, those who are righteous, and those who are holy. Put on the new man, which was created in God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Colossians 3:10, Ephesians 4:24. In Christ, the old divisions are eliminated. Here he says, neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised, nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. This is the important thing, that we are Christians, that we come together in Christ. We are to dress as God told us to dress, holy and beloved, verses 12. We are mentioned here, this is humility, tender mercies, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another. These are fruits of this God's Spirit, and these characteristics, when it talks about forgiving one another, they imply sin even in the church, that we will still sin against each other, and that's why we need to forgive each other. In Christ, verse 13 implies we're called and held to an extremely high standard. Love lifts us up to the highest of standards in Christ, to heavenly standards in Christ, not to what we used to have. 14, verse 14, love is the belt that holds the whole ensemble together. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. We sin against each other, we hurt one another, but love covers those sins. Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And we're called to that exact same standard, and no less, of forgiveness, because Christ forgave us. Roman numeral number 6, let the peace of God rule. Let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts. How are we to respond to the resurrection? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, 15 and 16. When it says, let the peace of God rule, it is a rule like an umpire, calling the ball as in strikes, and telling us how to judge even our own hearts in the peace of God. When it says, let the word of God dwell richly, means it's finding its sweet home in our hearts. Yesterday, I talked about Psalm 119:11. Thy word, or your word, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee or against you. And here it's saying, let the word of Christ dwell richly, meaning welcome the word to your heart. Provide a comfortable place for the word in your heart. Let the word dwell richly in your heart. Before the end of this month, I'm going to be privileged to have Dr. Dominic Aquila in my home, as he's been before. I want him to dwell richly while he's here. Let him feel comfortable while he's here, as we'd want any guest to feel in our places. And the Word of God should be welcome in our heart. How do we make the Word of God comfortable? Well, we do what we've already said. We put off the old man. We put off our sins. We kill our sins. We put on the new man, even Christ. Number 7. Everything is to be done in Christ's name, meaning for His glory. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Verse 17. This is outward again, the things that we do. Word. It says, in word or in deed, the words, our speech. God looks at what we say. He hears what we say. He wants us to speak in a way that honors Christ, glorifies him, and our deeds, in word or in deed, our actions. Our actions and words should match. All refers to everything. The passage goes on. After verse 17, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord's husbands. Love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. Here we're called to do what is right, to do what is good in all areas of life. Husbands and wives, servants, you can say employees, all are to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. All are to do his will in our regular lives, in what we do day by day. We are to serve him. How are we to respond to the resurrection? Another passage says it well, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve him and him alone. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We pray you'd be with us. Father, we thank you for this Easter, this resurrection day. Father, we pray you'd help us to live resurrected lives, that we might seek those things above, that we might set our affections and hearts on them, that we might live according to your word and will in a way that pleases and honors you, that everything we do, how we relate to others, how we forgive them, all these things would be done to your glory and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.